please, and open them up to Genesis chapter 15 as I turn this microphone on. And Brother Bob was saying he's having a trouble, Brian. Brother Bob was saying he's having trouble hearing. So maybe you could turn up the back speakers. I never hear them. You say they're on, but I never hear them. But Brother Bob could use that. We're looking to try to get two television screens, flat screens, one up here and one up there, to have like the music up in there, the words, so you can read it, and maybe some PowerPoints and maybe some stuff like that. And we're looking to do that. So Bob just said, you should have a projector. I said, Bob, we were just talking about that yesterday, the Jane. And so we're looking to get that. We've only been here for 3 years now. We just celebrated our third year anniversary here at this building. Just matter of fact, it's in June. I don't know. It was about last week. Somewhere around last week was our third year here. So we've been here 3 years. We've done a lot so far, and we're still a lot more to do. Amen. But the number one thing is not the building. The number one thing is souls. Amen. We want to win souls for the Lord. We want to reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ, because heaven's real and hell's real. Heaven's sweet and hell's hot. And Jesus Christ saves. And he wants to save everyone from hell. Amen. And all they have to do is hear and trust and believe. So there's things that hinder that. You have to realize that think about it. If you went and asked every person in the whole town, you know, when you die, would you like to go to heaven? You're not going to find one that says, no, I want to go to hell. You're not going to find one. You're all going to say, no, I want to go to heaven. Well, good. Well, do you know the way to heaven? Well, you got to be a good person. And you got to be this. And they have all their own little ways to get to heaven. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the creator. He is God incarnate flesh, the Bible teaches. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the one that saves. He's the one that seals. He's the one that delivers. Amen. But it is Jesus Christ who already did all the work. He did it all. He came to this earth for a purpose and a reason. He is the one that came to this earth and agonized in Gethsemane. He's the one that let them punch him in his face and spit in his face. He's the one that took the crown of thorns on his head and was beat into his head, where it says in Zechariah that a fountain was opened up in the house of Israel. He's the one that got punched and beaten and whipped 39 times with a Roman cat of nine tails, where the Bible says that by his stripes you are healed. He did it all for you. He's the one that carried our griefs and bore our sorrows. He's the one that carried that cross, that burden that only he could carry. Only him in his sinless form, a sinless blood in his bodies. His mother was Mary, but his father was the creator, God of all things. So therefore he, it says, being equal with God, thought it not robbery to say that you see me, you see the Father. And there, here he was, carrying that cross and got nailed to his hands and feet, ragging, agonizing in pain, suffering. And the first thing out of his mouth is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He's kind. He's merciful. He's awesome. He is unbelievable, the greatest friend you could ever have. He's not only God, but he's your friend. He's your husband. He's your brother. He's your king. He's your master. He's your savior. He is amazing. And people still don't want to receive him. And I don't understand why. I don't understand why they don't put their trust in him. Not in church. I understand. I talk to people and say, well, I don't want to be a Baptist. I don't want you to be a Baptist either. I want you to be saved. Amen. Going to heaven. And let the Holy Spirit lead you where you're going to go to church. But the thing is it's salvation is real and heaven's real and hell's real. Amen. People need to get saved. What's stopping them? I'll tell you what's stopping them. The forces of evil. The forces of darkness. Lies and deceits of the devil they've put in their minds and in their thoughts. People believe their own thoughts more than they believe Jesus Christ's word. I don't think that's true, they say to you. You know, you tell them there's only one way to heaven. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, then you're God and you've made all the rules. It's foolish. And it breaks my heart, because people are dying every day and going to hell. But they don't have to. No one has to. No one in the world has to go to hell. And it's ridiculous. And here we are. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. And all Jesus tells us to do is tell other people. Tell them so that how you got saved, they can be saved. You know what I mean? That's all it is. It's so simple. It's even a child can do it. A little child gets saved. The first thing they want to do is tell someone about Jesus. Amen. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Even a child can do it. Then you get older and you're like, well, you know, I'll let the pastor do that. And I'll let you know, that's for other people. No, it's not. It's for all of us. But my point to this is, what's stopping us? What's hindering us? I'll tell you what it is. The devils of this world. There are real devils. They're real. and they're trying to stop you. Let's look with chapter 15 with me. And I told you last week that the reason I got this message is because my wife and I went to Pensacola, Florida last week, or the week before, whenever it was, I don't know. And our granddaughter got married. Can't believe my wife's old, man. She's a granny. She's old. She's gonna be a great grandmom pretty soon. My granddaughter's not pregnant, so, but you never know. Within a year, she could be a great grandmother. Her, not me. No, I'm kidding. But starting young has its benefits. But anyway, so we went down, it rained 8 out of the 10 days. So one day on a Friday, we had sunshine. So we went to the Gulf of Mexico, to the beach. And as I'm walking, and like I was telling you last week, I was walking, looking which way to go. And I was like, she's like, let's go over here. And for some reason, I was drawn, literally drawn and pulled over this way. For no reason. And it's like, I don't know why, but this way. So we walked that way, and as we're coming down towards the water, I see this raven, this big black bird, this big black crow, ugly looking thing with a big beak, picking at something. I look, and it's a little baby bird, and it's trying to eat it, and there's blood, and he's trying to eat it. And I said, not on my watch, you don't. And I ran over, and I said, like this, kick the bird, get out of here, leave him alone. And that bird just kept coming back, and I had to kick, and I got sand, and I wung it at him, and he's like flapping, like right here, going, rah, rah. And he's like, no, that's mine. I'm like, oh, no, it's not. Nobody's, you're not taking, first of all, I don't like crows. You know, I just don't like them. They're, I think, in all reality, I like small game hunting. I go hunting for pheasants. The best time I ever have is just out in the woods, just hunting in cornfields. But crow season never ends. Like, pheasant season's 2 weeks out of the entire year. Crow never ends. It's like on Sundays you can hunt crow. That's because they're pests, people, anyway. So I go and I rescue this little bird. And it's bleeding. I feel so bad for it. So I take it and I put a towel over it. And that raven kept trying to come back. And so I chased it away. So the Lord gave me this message. And I believe the reason he led me over there was not just to save a little bird, but to give this message for the church. Amen. So I want to show you and tell you exactly what the Lord told me. Chapter 15. Tell me, say amen if you're there. We're going to read, and it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I just want you to stop for a second. People want riches, and they want houses. They want boats, and they want vacations, and they want money, and they want health, right? We all want good health. They want so many things. They want relationships healed. They want, you know, so many things we wish we had. The greatest thing you could ever have is God. You have him, you need nothing else. He's the maker of all things. He's the owner of the 10,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. He has everything. All you need is him. Amen. And that's what he says. I am your great and exceeding great reward. You got me. I'm your God, and I'll be with you always. I'm your shield, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to be with you. That's the greatest thing. That's all I want. I just want God to be with me. Amen. Look what it says in the next verse. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it for righteousness. This man that God chose, Abraham, was for two main reasons. If you were learning in Sunday school the life of Abraham, how God just reveals so much truth about us in him. But one thing I want you to understand, that one thing that Abraham made Abraham great was he was a man of faith. He believed, when God told him something, he believed it. When God told him something that was impossible. How? I'm 75 years old. I have no children. My wife's barren. And you're telling me I'm going to have so many kids that it's going to be like the stars in the sky. And he didn't go, yeah, right. He just went, he believed God. And God counted for righteousness. That's a great thing. Just believe God. No matter what you think it is. If you think, oh, I can't do it, God can do it. Just remember that. How many times, you know, I heard people say, well, can God make a rock so heavy he can't lift it? I'm like, don't worry about foolish things. Worry about what God said to you. What did God tell you in his word? Didn't God say that you, if you believe in him, that you and your house will be saved? The greatest thing in the world for me is that my children would be saved. That all my grandchildren would be saved. To me, nothing's getting any better than that. But he promised my house would be saved. So I'm still praying that all my children, all my grandchildren will be saved. There's still hope. He's also said that he would keep me from evil. Amen? Keep me from evil. That he would lead me and guide me. That he'd feed me and love me. That he'd protect me. That he'd give me wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And I pray for those things all the time. That he would use me to build his church, to do his work. To use me. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely lower than the belly of a snake on the bottom of a river. I mean, I'm nothing. And yet he said he'll use me. He calls me son. So there's so many promises in the Bible. So many promises. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So therefore, when he says this to Abram, Abram says this, and he says in verse 6, and he says, and he believed on the Lord, and the Lord counted him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, the Chaldeans, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord, Lord God, whereby, look what he says, whereby, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, please pay attention. He said, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece against another. Look what it says. But the birds divided he not. And it says in verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. That's the message for you today and for us, is that Abram drove away the fowls of the air. He drove them away. And that's what I did with that one. And God spoke to me and he said, tell your people that they got ravens in their lives trying to take the blessings and trying to take the things that I want for them. I have a holy convocation for you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I have all these great mighty blessings for you, just like he did Abraham. But guess what? As soon as Abram did what God said, exactly what he did, and he had to, guess who shows up? Them old fowls of the air. They come down and they tried to pick at it, and they tried to take it away, and they tried to eat it, they tried to destroy it before it even manifested itself. See, we're going to read, and in a minute, what God does in this time in Abraham's life, it's never been done to anyone else in all the Bible. See, God has already called Abraham in chapter 12 and said, get thee out, come out from among them. And he does. And then he separates Lot from him. And then God tells him, see all this land, I'm going to give it to you. And then he sends a famine, and Abraham fights the famine. Abraham fights his flesh. Abraham fights his thoughts. Abraham fights his wife. Abraham fights. Abraham's a fighter. I'm just letting you know, he's a fighter. He doesn't give up. He doesn't sit there and it's God says, you are Abraham, and in you shall all the world be blessed. You're Abraham. And he didn't sit around going, that's right, I'm Abraham. Yep. No, he said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. And God said this, and guess what Abraham did? He fought his whole life for the faith. He fought for the faith, and we preached on that Wednesday night. And the truth of the matter is here now we have a time where God is confirming his covenant with him, and he says to him, how am I going to know? Because I'm going to die. And how am I going to know that I'm going to have all this land? And how am I going to know that what you're saying is true? So God said, that's a reasonable question. He's like, I believe you, God, but I'm not going to be around forever. How am I going to know? So this is what he says. Take me a ram of 3 years and a heifer of 3 years and a goat of 3 years. Take me a turtle dove and a pigeon and offer them to me. Bring them. And he brings the offering and God waits. God doesn't show up immediately. What happens? Matter of fact, I'll just read it to you, and then we'll talk about it, Lord. Look back in our text. It says in verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great abundance or substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. That means here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And look at 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, I just want you to understand, get the whole grist, that when Abraham made these animals there, as God said, that was God's word, not Abraham's. That was God's promise, not Abraham. It was God's plan, not Abraham's. Do you understand? Sometimes, even when you're in God's perfect will, when God tells you to do something, when God promises you to do something, when God says, I will this, I will that, no matter what it is that you're trying to do, especially when it's serve the Lord, like coming to church on Sunday morning when everything else is going wrong, like coming to church on Wednesday night Bible study and prayer when you don't feel like it and you're tired, like coming to Sunday school and letting your children learn and grow and learn songs, like going into nursing homes and into the prisons and doing a work for God. How about this? Your daily devotion with the Lord. The time that you just set aside just between you and Him, and you read you and Him, and you read your Bibles. That is holy, sacred time. Don't you believe God wants that?
Amen.
Doesn't God want that? How about the time you're worshiping and singing and praising? Doesn't God like that when He hears you? See, I'm talking about the most sacred times in your life, the most holy times between you and God. Think this. Never think this in your mind. I should say that it's going to be easy, because that's when the fouls come. See, you say, what happens is we are told by God, go to church, right? Read your Bible. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. So as you see Christ coming, we should gather more together. We should be one. We should have everyone. You know why? Because we're stronger in numbers, first of all. But there's many other reasons. But every time we're going to do something for God, you're going to have to fight. Because the fouls of the air are going to come. Because that they don't come when you're sitting home watching the news. They don't come when you're sitting home watching, you know, Star Wars, the trilogy. They don't come when you're eating your dinner or eating your lunch or going to Dairy Queen. They don't come when you're golfing on the links or question. They don't come then. They only come when you're going to do something good for God. Do you understand? And then those fouls of the air come because they're trying to pollute. They're trying to make something holy unholy. They're trying to stop God from absolutely and definitely doing what He promised to do in your life. See, the devils are real. And the darkness and the fowls of the air are real. And what they're doing, Abraham, know what he did? He fought. He chased them away. He kicked them away. He shooed them. He kicked them. Get out of here, you no good. Get out of here. Get out of here. This is God's offering. No, this is God's time. This is God's thing. No, get out of here. He fought everything to keep them clean. And God, see, most people today wouldn't have fought. They would have said, okay, I'm doing what God said. God's going to have to keep the birds away. God's going to have to do it. It's God's will. How many people say, well, it's God's will, right? No, God said, my will is that you be blessed. My will is that you be fruitful. My will is that you have abundance. My will is that you be happy. My will is this. So that's God's will. What happens is, He said, are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to do your part in it? Problem is, most people think, I don't have to do anything because God's doing it. If it's God's will, it'll happen. How many times have I heard that? If it's God's will, no. God's will is for you to fight. God's will is for you to get those fowls of the air out of here. And the truth of the matter is, if you think about this, it's our responsibility to do whatever it is that God's not. Why does God have to do it if we can do it? If you can do something, why are you waiting for God to do it when you can do it? God's God. He'll do the impossible. He'll do the supernatural. He'll do the things you can't do. But the things you can do, He's called us to do. We got to get to work. We got to start fighting the battles. See, what happens is we get weak. We sit around and we're like, yeah, well, it's God's will. I did what I had to do. I read my Bible today. And you don't understand that the devils are out there. The fowls of the air, the ravens are coming down to take that which, to destroy that which God is trying to set up. Chasing away the ravens from God's holy sacrifice. We chase away. Listen, it's our responsibility to do that, not God's. Just because God's plan, God's purpose and His perfect will does not mean that we're supposed to be complacent or inactive in our roles in this. He said, occupy till I come. You remember when Jesus gave many parables and He said, "It's kingdom of God is like this. A rich man went on a long journey and he gave out his gifts to people. And then he comes back. He said, what'd you do with it? And the one guy that didn't do anything with it said, you wicked and slothful servant. I'm here to tell you, we're supposed to be working. We're supposed to be doing that which we are able to do, and let God do the supernatural. Let God do the impossible, because the fowls of the air are out there and they're picking. They want to destroy absolutely everything. God has put us here for a purpose and a reason. I like that song, "For Such a Time as This." We are here for such a time as this to vote and to work and to be active and to keep the devils away. What do you do? How many people have ever tried to pray and all of a sudden bad thoughts come in your head? What do you do? What happened? How many times have people ever wanted to do something for God and everything else comes up? How many times you're like, well, it's Saturday, I should be going to the church, but I got 800 other things to do. How about, you know, it's my time to read the Bible, but I'm really busy. How about my time to worship, but I'm here, I'm telling you, the ravens are coming. And what you got to do when those bad thoughts come in your head, because that's where it all starts, in the head. When those bad thoughts come in your head, you know what you do? You chase them away. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. See, how many times have you just had a thought come through your mind, Steve? A crazy, whacked out thought that, you know, like it wasn't you. You know, you're driving down the road. You ought to smash into that wall. Huh? What? Get out of here. It happens. You know what I mean? Oh, you shouldn't read your Bible today. It happens. What do you do when those fowls of the air come in? You chase them out. Get out of here. You take control and you fight for what is right. You fight for what God has given you. The thoughts in your head come and go because the devils attack you that way. What do? You don't sit there and go, oh man, I'm crazy. I got bad thoughts. We all do. Say, get out of here. What do when you start thinking a wrong thought? A bad thought, a lustful thought. Get out of here. That's right. Get out of here. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. But we don't, Keith. We just sit there and get under attack. And we wonder why we're not being blessed and fruitful. I would like to say this, that you and the Lord, your time with God and you and the Lord will not be without deliberate attacks from the fowls of the air, the devil's messengers, or even the devil himself. In our most religious acts, there's fowls of the air. In our most sacred devotions, there you'll find the fowls. And the ravens will attack, and we must not just stand idle by. And we must not allow them to ruin our time with God. We must chase them away. We must be sober, be vigilant, the Bible says. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, also like a raven, he walketh about or flieth about, like seeking whom he may devour. See, that's what he wants to do. He wants to devour anything holy in your life. Please listen to me. He wants to devour. They want to take away anything that's holy in your life. Look at your life right now. Just your life, no one else's. And how much of it is holy and how much is not. And so the problem is that the fowls are trying to pollute it. They're trying to make it unclean. See, if the fowls would have came down to Abram's offering and sacrifice, God wouldn't have came down. You see, what God did, he did this to no one else. God showed up in a fire, in a burning fire, because the Bible says our God is an all-consuming fire. You don't know him as that way. See, what God is doing, he's revealing to Abraham, how will I know? Do this, 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 and this, okay? The devils are trying to stop it. He says, no, get out of here. He kicks them out. Then God shows up in a burning, fiery furnace. And he passes between each of those pieces. Each thing you've ever done for God. Each commandment. Each obedience. Each thing that you did. Each time you chased it away. Each time you strived to enter into the straight gate. Each time you tried, God sees it. Each time you chased the devils away. Each time you were serious about your faith and your salvation. See, the problem is, we think we're just on a surfboard and we got saved. We're like, woo-hoo! Yeah, guess what? That wave ends. And then you got to go paddle all the way back out. It's hard work. This being a Christian means that you have an enemy. He's the devil. And they don't like it. And they're going to do anything in their world. They can't stop you from being saved. But they can stop God's blessings in your life. They can stop God's manifestation in your life. You see, it changed Abraham's life forever. What happened was God revealed himself to Abraham in a way that he never revealed himself to anyone else in the Bible. as a burning, fiery furnace. And he passed between them and he made a covenant with Abraham because of what Abraham did, because of him chasing away the birds, chasing away the fowls of the air. He didn't just sit there and say, oh, well, God told me to do this. You know how many times people try to build something? And they build it and all of a sudden maybe they run out of money or this happens or that happens and they can't do it. And they go, oh, well, if it's God's will, it's going to get done. And God's like saying, no, you can build. You keep going. See, when Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I always think, well, okay, he's going to do it. Okay, he's going to do it, right? Don't we think that? You know what he says? I'm using you to do it. And I'm using you to do it. And I'm using you to do it. And I'm using you to do it. Because Jesus is in us. We sing those songs. Here's my hands. Take them. Here's my feet. And he says, okay, pick up a hammer and a nail. And let's go. And we're like, well, no, I thought you were doing it. See, you don't understand. God has us here for a purpose. And one of the biggest purposes he has us here, especially men. Men, your purpose on this earth is so powerful, so anointed to protect your wife and your children and your family, protect your neighborhoods. And I mean, in the old days, my goodness, when I was smoking a cigarette at 14 or 13, I had to hide down the railroad tracks. Because if my neighbors would have saw me, not only would they smack me upside the head and take my cigarettes, they would have dragged me by the ear all the way home and say, look what your kid's doing. Then my parents would have beat me. Nowadays, everyone's afraid. Men used to be men. Men would say, hey, knock that off. Pull your pants up, boy. Don't you talk to your mother that way. They would chase the ravens away. Now we make nests and say, come on in, ravens. We got a big nest here for you. Why don't you just live in our house? They chased the... Back then, God gave men, to be leaders in their households. To tell your children, no, you are not wearing that. No way you're going out of the house with that. Chase those ravens away. Because they're trying to pick at your children. They're trying to pick at your wife, trying to pick at your family. In the old days, man, I liked it. Men were men. Women were women. And the devils were nervous. And so the devil didn't like men being men. John Wayne and all those guys. He didn't like men being men. So he said, we got to stop this manly stuff and we got to make men effeminate. We got to take their identity off of them. We got to take their power and their this off of them. You know how many men have children and they don't even pay for their own children? The Bible says any man that won't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. They have children, and they don't even take care of them. You know what they're saying? Here, devil, take my children. I'm here to tell you right now, we need the men in this room, and in this way, we need to start chasing those ravens away. Amen? Because you look at our society today, if you say anything about anything, you're a bigot, you're this. Well, you're a sissy. Exactly. Well, political correctness is the biggest black bird in them all. He's a raven. He's the devil himself, political correctness. And he's got all those fowls of the air going out there. Pick, 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 pick. And people aren't chasing them away. They're not even standing their ground in their own home. Well, government says I can't spank them. Whoop them. Well, government says they got to learn evolution. Tell them that the schools are wrong and show them the Bible. But people just give up. Well, come on in and pick my family apart, and I just hope I'll make it. Where's the men today? More men are on medication. Oh, my goodness gracious. What they need is a dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen? More men. They need to be men in this place. I'm telling you, we need men to rise up and chase these devils out of our homes. But no, we invite them in. Pornography in our homes. Drinking and alcohol and cigarettes and drugs in our homes with our children. And then we wonder, what happened to my kids? You, the protector of the home, the man of God in the home, you let it fall to nothing. You let the devil destroy it. Abraham was not going to have any of that. You know what God said about Abraham? He said, oh, I know him. He's going to teach his family. He's going to teach. Remember that verse? Let me keep reading. That other part that I just spent 5 minutes on, that was, you don't have to pay for that. That wasn't part of it. That part was free. You don't even have to pay for that one. But think about this. They want to make unclean that which is clean. They want to make unholy that which is holy. And let me tell you what's really, really bad is that people today, Brother Keith, even us, all of us, we don't know what's holy anymore. We cannot tell the difference between clean and unclean anymore. You know what I mean, Bob? It used to be there was a line drawn and you knew what you didn't cross. Now there's no line. There's no line in the music. There's no line in the fashion. There's no line in the language. There's no line in the movies. There's no line in anything anymore. And we just let things happen the way they happen. Que sera, sera. Yeah, you let them old devils in there. But what it is in Leviticus. Matter of fact, turn there with me to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. It's only a few pages over, a few books over. If you don't mind, I could have read it myself, but I want you to read it. In Leviticus 10, look at me in verse 8. Read from 8 to 11. It says this in verse 8. It says, "And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Thou," that means you, "nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." That, look what he says, why? Why? "That you may put a difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean and clean, and that you may teach your children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." That's the problem, is we don't teach our children because we don't know the difference between what's right and wrong anymore. What does it say in Isaiah? It says there will come a day when they'll call evil good and good evil. And that's the day we're in. I want to hurry up and finish with this in another 10 minutes, give me. If the devil can come in and ruin your devoted time with God, and if he can pollute our thoughts, cause us to doubt, make the holy unholy with thoughts and imaginations, with actions and lies and deceits, with drugs and alcohol and filthy habits, even cigarettes will ruin the gift of the Holy Spirit on you. Cigarettes and drinking and gambling, all the just things that are unclean. But think about this. Mark chapter 4. Turn with me there. Mark chapter 4, New Testament. Say amen when you're there. You're quick, Dave. Mark 4:4. It says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." Look with me in verse 15. It says, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard," who comes? Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Who are the fowls of the air? They are the devils. Who is the raven that picks apart? Is the devil. And what happens is, as soon as something good or holy, maybe it be in prayer, maybe it be in Bible reading, maybe it be in teaching, whatever it is, you have a bad thought come in your mind. First thing you should do is get out of here. Just chase it away. I'm here to help you today. Because it happens to all of us. Doesn't it, Bob?
Yep.
Just chase it away. Get out of here. You chase it away enough, Bible even says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Just don't let that thought come in and take nest or land. Just get out of here. Get away. That crazy thought. Don't we all have crazy thoughts? Where do you think they come from? They're not coming from you. They're coming from the fowls of the air trying to destroy something holy. So just chase them away. Chase them away. And you chase them away long enough, I guarantee you, God will show up. I guarantee God will do a great work. Let me try to wrap this up for you. When God gives us his word, he wants to perform that which he's spoken. Do you understand? When God gives you a promise, he wants you to be like Abraham and believe him and take him at his word. Amen? But then the devils are going to kind of come and try to take that away, make things unholy. If you'll fight it and cast it and chase it away, God will now come to you and perform that which he's promised. How many times have we not seen God perform that which we thought he should have done in our lives? And that's because that which was holy was made unholy. When God wants to show you or do something great, he'll tell you, as he did Abraham, do something. Do something. You ever hear God tell you to do something? It's up to us to keep that sacred, to keep that holy, to keep that true and pure. But the fowls will come, and they're going to try to stop you. Chase them away. Sometimes they come in the form of a friend. Sometimes those fowls come in as your friends or as family members or as the government or whatever it is, and they come in alongside you, and you think, oh, well, I got to listen to them. No, chase them away. What do you do when people try to put doubt in your mind? Chase them away. What do you do when people try to take God's word from you? Chase them away. And that's what you need to do. When the word of the Lord came to Abraham, and as it does come to you, Abraham was tested time and time again. Abraham fought. He was a fighter. God's word always came, and then he was tested, and then God's word came through because Abraham fought. He fought. The first thing he had to fight was his emotions. When God said to Abraham, come out, leave your house, leave your home, leave your family, separate yourself, he had to fight his emotions. You know, sometimes you're going to have to fight your own feelings. Most of the time, I should say, you're going to have to fight your own feelings. I don't feel like it. Fight that. I don't think I should. Fight that. You see, the worst enemy you have sometimes is you. Sometimes people say, why is this happening to me? Right? You're in the front row, so I like talking to you. Why is this happening to me? And God's saying, because of you. You know, I know people and you might know some too, but they say, oh, Pastor, you know, I was this and this happened, and then I went here and this happened, and I went here and this happened, and I went here and this happened. And you look at him, you're like, you know what the common denominator and all that is? You. It's you. Right, exactly. You're the one that is the problem. Guess what? You're your own worst enemy. Sometimes God wants to bless you, and you go, oh, it'll never work. Think about it. God said, I love you. I don't know. He doesn't love me. God says, you know, I want to put open the winds of heaven and pour you out blessings. He's not going to do it. I'm not going to get that bill paid. I'm never going to get healed. I'm never going to get better. My kids aren't going to get saved. And we sit there and we pick and pick and pick away at God's holy things instead of saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? And you get fired up and God says, now that's a person that chases away the bad and evil thoughts. I'm here to tell you right now that the devil is the ravens of this world. And as I was going up to that bird, and I saw this bird, and I said, not on my watch, you devils. You're not going to kill this little baby in front of me. So I chased that old bird away, and he kept hanging out, trying to swoop, and I threw sand at him, and I chased him away. Sometimes you won't have to, you can't just do it once. Sometimes you're going to have to do it twice. Sometimes you have to get up and kick it away. Sometimes you're going to have to yell and scream, whatever it takes, amen? Get them devils away from you. But, so then I took this little bird, and my wife and I, it was bleeding, and we put a towel on it, and poor thing was shaking like a leaf, right? So I'm looking at it, I'm going, I wonder what kind of bird it is. And it had this big, long beak, and it was like this big, long thing with a thing on the end of it, big, giant feet, and in Pensacola, there's pelicans everywhere. So I said, it's a pelican. I'm like, wow, we don't have pelicans up here. I thought it was really cool, so I'm going to help this pelican to, you know, so I called, I went lifeguard, and there was two young guys and a girl, and they didn't care. I said, wait a minute, first of all, you're a lifeguard. Get over there and guard this life. And they said, human life. They didn't care. So then, I'm noticing that where I'm at, nobody cared. Even the other birds, I was waiting for the mother. Remember, big pelicans would fly by, and I'm like, he's here, come get him. Wasn't I? I was like, I'm like, over here. Get him. Because I wanted the mother and father to come. I didn't want to, you know what I mean? And I tried everything I could. So I called them. They said, call the wildlife management, whatever, of Northwest Florida. So I called them and they said, where are you? And I told them. They said, we're closing in 15 minutes. I said, what am I supposed to do? They said, take it home with you. Take care of it and bring it to us tomorrow. I was like, really? I said, okay. So we're on vacation. We took it home. Put a little wrap in the thing, right? And then I would go check on it. And I'll tell you what the bird did. Bird's smarter than many of us. The bird would get up, limp over, do his business, and then come back. He wouldn't poop, excuse the language. He wouldn't do his doo-doo where he lived. And I thought about this. That's smarter than some of the people in our church, Rich. They don't even get up and get out of the house. They do it right in their own home. It's, you know what I mean? I'm like, at least that this bird who's like half dead, he knows I'm not pooping where I'm sleeping. Anyway, so I take the bird In the morning, it was pouring rain, thunderstorms, and I drove with my directions. I went all the way to the wildlife place, and they had owls and eagles in there and all these stuff. And I go up, and I say to the person, you know, I got this bird. I think it's a pelican. And they said, oh, well, that's great. Thank you. And they took it, and they took it back. So I'm waiting to hear about, like, what kind of bird it was. And turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15 in our text, and we'll finish with this. And I ask this young lady if you'd come up and could play for us in a minute. But look, are you there? Look in verse 9 where God told Abraham, he said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat and of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a what? It was a pigeon. All this time, it was a pigeon. And I felt so dumb. Mina came to me last week and said, Pastor, it was an eagle, wasn't it? Yes, a mighty eagle I saved. It was a very rare, amazing bird, and yes, I saved it. I saved the day. Dun, 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 dun. And then when she came out, she said, I said, you know what it was? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. What was it? It was a pigeon. I went, what? A stinking pigeon? We got plenty of them up in Philly. Yes. Know what she said? She said, I saved a pigeon once. She said, and it's my pet. It's the best thing I ever did in my life. That's what she said. She said that she has a pigeon. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I'm like leaving, and my wife's at home, back at the hotel. She's wondering what it was. And I'm like, how do I tell the people? How do I tell like people? It was a pigeon, you know, because I put on Facebook. I got this, you know, this awesome bird. So anyway, what I noticed about this pigeon is that in this message right there, it was a young pigeon, he said. Let me ask you a question. How many people in this room has ever seen a baby pigeon? Really? You guys are ruining everything. You know that, aren't you? Where did you see a baby pigeon at? Well, your brother raised them. Okay. Where did you see a baby pigeon at? No, you didn't. No, you did not. You've never seen a baby pigeon in the city. Why'd you raise your hand? You're lying in church. Who else raised their hand back there? You will not, you know what? So I did research, and what they said, it is very rare to ever see a baby pigeon. Because they stay in the nest until they're full grown, and then they leave. You never see a pigeon walking with little babies behind it. You never see a smaller pigeon and bigger pigeons. All the pigeons are the same size, so it's very rare. So what I found was very rare. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, all right? It's true, but listen to this. Let me finish with this. Thanks, Bob, for that. I appreciate that. Thanks for that grotesque now. So let me just tell you something. When I went to rescue that bird, the ravens were there. Please listen. So good. God wants you to know this. The ravens were trying to eat the bird. I mean, it's a fact. So I did say that. But guess who else was there? Pigeons. Pigeons were there. Guess what they did? Nothing. They did nothing. And God spoke to me and he said, that's what our families are doing today. They're watching their children being picked apart. They're watching their children be picked apart with evolution and different sexual lifestyles and all this junk that the world has given to them. They're watching and they're doing nothing. And I said, oh God. And he said, tell your church. Tell your church because God said a young pigeon. Now if God asked you, go bring a young pigeon, where would you find one? Where would you even look? I'm just letting you know that some of the things you think are not a big deal, they're a big deal to God. Some of the things that you think, it's not a big deal, to God, it's a big deal. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. As the music starts to play, let's stand to our feet, give people a chance to stretch. But I want you to think about these things today. Chase the fowls away. Don't let them come. Don't let them land. Don't let them make a nest. Don't let them pick your family apart. Your family, your children are holy because you are holy. The things of God in the most sacred times with God is when the devils will come and try to just make it unholy. We have got to know the difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, or else we're just going to allow them to come in. If God has spoke to you in any way, why don't you leave and come out of your seats and come to this old-fashioned altar and bow before your Lord and your God and worship Him and love Him? Why don't you come and move and do something? Have action. Don't be inactive in your spiritual walk with God. Be active. Chase away the thoughts saying, I don't need to go. Maybe there's people in this room that aren't truly saved. They haven't truly put all their faith in Jesus Christ. Because why? Because they don't think they really need it. They don't think they're going to hell. But they are. There's people in this room that the devils have taken the truth out of their heart. And the Bible says that if you are not born again, if you're not saved and you can't remember the day that you knew you were going to hell and that you were lost and that you called upon Jesus Christ to save you and He came in and saved you and made you clean and made you whole, if you can't remember a time when you did that, you're still lost. Please don't let the ravens or the devils or the fowls come and take God's holy word out of your heart. Why don't you right now, wherever you are, why don't you bow your head? Why don't you talk to God? Why don't you ask Him to save you? Why don't you ask Him, cry out to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. I need to be saved. Oh Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. I cry out to You. I ask You to save me. Give me eternal life. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. Heal me. Help me, Lord. And I'll follow. I'll learn. I'll grow. God, help the men in this room to be men in their families, in their homes, to chase away the unclean fowls, to turn off those wicked programs and that wicked music and the wicked dress and all the things the devil's trying to pick at our family. And mothers, do as God said and follow your husbands and just respect them and be with them. When they try to be a father, help them to be it. Don't fight them. And Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy name is above every name. And we pray the name of Jesus Christ to be on our hearts and souls, to be on our minds, to renew our minds, renew our hearts and our spirits. We love You, Lord, because You love us. Give unto us Your Spirit. Everyone that's hungering and thirsting, they shall be filled. But you must ask. You have not because you ask not. Everyone here, like a baby chick, opens his mouth and wants his mother to feed him. Why don't we do that to God and open our mouth and say, God, fill us with Thy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart. Fill my mind. Give me the strength I need, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship. We pray, we praise. Let us walk with You and talk with You. Give us, I pray, wisdom. Help us to chase away the fowls that come into our mind and our thoughts. Help us to chase them away. And Lord, as You did Abraham, manifest Your glory to us. Manifest Your power. Let us know for a surety the words that You say are true. In Jesus' name we pray. Brother Dave Hollingsworth, would you please do us the honor and just pray and close us in a word of prayer.